Let us bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think Bill and I have an advantage over the memory verse because I always use this to open a sermon, and I'm sure he has many times. So when you were growing up, you haven't grown up yet. What were you going to become? And for those of us that are on a little bit, did you succeed? When you're growing up as a child, did you get to be a fireman? Did you get to be a nurse? Did you get to be a teacher? Did you get to be a mom? What do you want to be in the next 5 years? What do you want to become in the next 5 years? What do you want God to do in you in the next 5 years? A preacher. I get to ask that question. What do you want First Baptist Church to become in 5 years? There's a growing vision that I have been encountering ever since I arrived here. There is a vision statement, disciples making disciples. But there's a stirring of a growing vision that would permeate everyone, not just a slogan. You see, there have been words, prophetic words, of a new wine, needing a new wineskin. There have been words given about a God who is uncontrollable and indescribable. And special prayers that Joe gave a few Sundays ago. We've had healing prayers where people have been touched by the power of God. We have had cleansing tears in this congregation when we have anointed people. We've had Holy Spirit-led worship that has filtered out into the community going, "Are you sure they're Baptists?" There's an excitement growing about the future of First Baptist Church Kelowna. And I have observed something in stepping in on an interim basis, waiting for Steve to return. Watching your faithfulness. Now, I've talked to the elders about this, and I've talked to some of the leaders, but I want the whole congregation to hear this. Your faithfulness of walking with him and allowing God to work with him and for God to release him with love. You walked in faith, not knowing what the results will be. You walked in love. You walked in compassion. You walked waiting for God to act. You didn't push. You didn't manipulate. You didn't orchestrate. You walked in faith. And God now is saying, "You have blessed, therefore I will bless you." And you know, once God blesses you, there's more blessings to come. Because the more blessings you get, the more you give away. There's the famous Abram blessing back in Genesis. Blessed to be a blessing. Then we had this 3DM workshop that I think 8 or 9 or 10 of us attended, where we began to hear about a culture of discipleship being built. Then we have been engaging Metro Church in the leadership of the elders and the leadership of the church, getting into conversations a couple of times. They're moving just down the road, and they won't be fully established for another 2 years, but we're beginning a conversation. We are praying together. We're walking together. We are talking together of what it would be like for the Church of Kelowna to be seen as these two congregations bless each other, support each other, pray with each other, have each other's back. One idea that has bubbled up already is maybe we should have a joint Alpha program in October here with those two churches, because they don't have a facility to host it. So maybe we partner with them. I had an opportunity to start preparing. You won't believe this. I'm preparing for your fall kickoff. You're going to be getting a new minister, and it would be kind of overwhelming walking the door and saying, "Hey, you got any plans for the fall?" So I'm going to be working with you to develop some plans for the fall. Well, I was sketching and writing things down, and then Yvonne for the search committee says, "Wayne, I need the list. I'm just putting this thing together." It was 2 pages with 2 columns in each page of all the wonderful things that go on here that you are not going to recognize because you're too busy with your noses doing, "Oh yeah, I could do this, could do this, could do this." You've got to open your eyes, look to the horizon, saying, "Hey, God's inspiring us, God's leading us, we are doing these things." The Pregnancy Care Center and the Baby Bottle Drive, an openness to be supportive. Over these last months, you as a congregation have strengthened your elders by voting in new elders. You have strengthened and supported the role of your moderator. Our Sunday prayer gatherings, they're becoming a hoot. I love them. And our monthly prayer gatherings that we've had, the strength that is there. And then, at the elders' meeting, I hear rumbling about some of you wanting to become members. Some of you who have been here for a very long time wanting to become members. Some people who have offices upstairs who should become a member. And if there's anyone here that is not a member and wants to get in on the motion, the creation, to grow with the vision, the elders would gladly receive you and interview and bring your name forward on May the 30th. I'm sorry, Andrea, I'm making more work for you before you leave for Denmark. There is a growing vision. Now, for us students of Sherlock Holmes, there is a phrase that I love. "Come on, Watson, the game's afoot. Get your clothes on and let's go. Come on, First Baptist, the game's afoot. The Spirit is moving. Let's get going. Let's get going." Now, in the passage at the very end of Luke describes the beginning of the ascension in very short terms. He elaborates much more in Acts. But as Jesus was ascending into heaven, Luke tells us that he raised his hands and he blessed the disciples. I haven't done my full research, but I can't remember any other time where Jesus raised his hands to bless people. He blessed them by touching them, but he raised his hands to bless them. Now, there is a priestly blessing that you all know that is found in Numbers. And this is the instructions where the priest would bless the people every morning after the morning sacrifices at the temple. Today, this blessing is used as a benediction at the end of the service in synagogues and in our churches. Now, in an Orthodox synagogue, The people would say this as a preface to this blessing. And the men in particular would take their, in an Orthodox church, would take their prayer shawls, cover their head. Looking away, they would say, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes us holy with the holiness of Aaron and has commanded us to bless his people, Israel, with love." Then the priest, the rabbi, and you've seen this in services, the minister, raises his hands and says this. But tradition from the temple is, in the raising of my hands like this, God shines through the hands upon the people. And in an Orthodox setting, people turn their eyes away, for they cannot see or look upon the face of God. But I see Jesus ascending, raising his hands, blessing the people, and saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." I think the uniqueness of Jesus raising his hands is further emphasized by the verse that follows this blessing. For the verse says, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Jesus, on his ascension, blesses the disciples, and they, in time, come to put his name upon themselves as disciples of Jesus Christ. Jack's sermon last week rocked. And I support him, and I know you all do too. We need to be known more as disciples of Jesus Christ than members of a religion. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are assuming the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke goes on further to ascend to describe the ascension and the blessings that take place. Jesus had presented himself alive over 40 days. He had face-to-face meetings with them, and he talked about the concerns of the kingdom of God. And as they met and had meals, he told them that they were to, at no account, to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for the Father and the promise that he would send. "The promise," Jesus said, "you heard from me." What promise? Well, in the Gospel of John, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Jesus also said, "When the advocate comes, he will testify about me. And when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only when he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." I kind of like a prayer meeting, and I'm encouraging and I'm stressing it. And I kind of like the praise groups here, because I give the praise team leaders, "Okay, this is the scripture. This is my working title. Go away and talk to God and come up with the music." There is prophetic action each and every Sunday since I've been here. Confirmation, 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 confirmation of what God will do. And he's telling us what's yet to come. On the day of ascension, Jesus said, "John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon." But still, these disciples walk with a guy for 3 years. They kill him, comes back to life, walks around, eats fish with you on the beach, and you're going, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom of to Israel now? Or are we going to kick these Romans out of here? Is this the time? Jesus says, you don't know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you're going to get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. And as the Holy Spirit falls here, as the Holy Spirit has already fallen here, you are called to be witnesses to this neighborhood. Joining in with Freedom's Door, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Mats and Chats, Village Garden. You are called to be witnesses in this neighborhood. You are called to be witnesses in this city. You are called to be witnesses in this valley. You are called to be witnesses in this province. You are called to be witnesses everywhere. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive the empowering God, enabling power of God. You will receive the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we know them. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm doing everything except the last one. There's always got to be temptation with a cookie. But where we walk with the Holy Spirit, where we put Jesus into our lives, front and center, something transpires. And we then begin to demonstrate and share the fruits of the Spirit. You see, it's in the sharing is that when we love someone else, when we share our joy, when we share our peace, when we share our forbearance, when we share our kindness, when we share our goodness, when we share our faithfulness, when we share our gentleness, when we share our self-control, oh my goodness, it's happening to me. Now, there are different kinds of gifts. This is the cool part. And to each one, the manifestation of the gift is given for the common good. You have been given a gift for the common good. Now, there's a classic list. The next slide. You've seen these. You've studied them in Bible studies. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's just the primary list. Let's talk about hospitality. Let's talk about compassion. Let's talk about caring. They're in the list too. The Spirit doesn't have a short list. The Holy Spirit has a list that goes on forever. Next slide. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Now, one of the beautiful things, and I've been, you're getting tired of me bragging about you, but I love going out into this community and saying, wow, you should see this church. And you should see the leaders in it. I'm sorry, Andrea, not you, not the board. I mean the leaders just below. The leaders that actually get things done. Bev Taylor. Vera. Yvonne. We have people with gifts of leadership. And there's Helen and Joe. And there's Ann. And there's the journey people. It's all here, taking place. You have these gifts. So there's been a growing vision for First Baptist Church. I've just articulated the ones that I'm able to talk about. There's enabling power of God that is evident in your lives. In the things you've been doing, the things you've been dreaming, the actions you've been taking, it's quite evident that the power of God is present. And I like to borrow a prayer from Paul when he prayed for the Ephesians. It's not going to be on a slide. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want you to hear these words for you. My desire, God, is to stand before you as our Father. The Father who parceled out all of heaven and earth. I ask you to strengthen these people, this church, this family, by your Spirit. Not by a brute strength, but by a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in them as you open the door and invite them to be witnesses. I ask you, Lord, that you would plant your feet firmly within this congregation. That the followers that you have called will be extravagant dimensions of your love. So that they might reach out and experience not only the breadth, the length, and the plummet of your love, but the heights and dimensions of your fullness. God, you can do anything. This we know. Far more than we could ever imagine or guess or request in our wildest dreams, but have loose, Lord. Glory to the church, glory to the Messiah, glory for all generations, and glory be seen in Jesus Christ, who will be manifest in all those who gather here this day, and for those who call this home. Amen.